This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Tuesday afternoon confirmed the first case of H5N2 avian influenza in Iowa. It was found in a commercial turkey flock in Buena Vista County in northwest Iowa. The flock of 27,000 turkeys is located within the Mississippi Flyway, where this strain of avian influenza has previously been identified. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey thinks the likely source of the avian influenza was a migratory bird.
Of course, we don't know exactly where it came from, but we see no connection with other farms, so we think likely it came from a migratory bird that would have had contact one way or the other with some turkeys at this farm.
Northey says the affected farm and nearby poultry farms have been quarantined.
But this turkey farm will be depopulated. It is under quarantine and neighboring farms are under quarantine. So we will do testing at those neighboring farms. We're working in cooperation with the U.S. Department of Ag. And we'll do testing to confirm that it has not spread at all from this farm. And certainly then, after a period of time, be able to open that area back up for moving birds. But for right now, we ask that no birds are moved from that area in a risk of protecting birds in other places from the exposure to avian influenza.
Northey says his department is working on a joint incident response with USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS. He says they are also working directly with poultry workers at the affected facility to ensure that they are taking the proper precautions. The use of antibiotics in cattle and livestock production has been an issue of late, and many producers are trying to figure out what will happen if they have to change how they've been doing things for years. Dr. Keith Belk, professor at Colorado State University's College of Agricultural Sciences, discusses the issue.
As you know, there's a lot of pressure globally on several sectors of society to reduce the risk of conferring resistance in populations of microorganisms. And of course, one of those is in agriculture and primarily in livestock production. What is happening right now is FDA has electively agreed with all of the major pharmaceutical companies that beginning this year that they will begin to voluntarily withdraw subtherapeutic use of antimicrobials.
Then there will be another big change come December of next year.
All of the antimicrobials used in livestock production, and I think it entails all of them with perhaps only one or two minor exceptions, it will require a script or a prescription from a veterinarian that's in a veterinarian-patient-client relationship to obtain those antimicrobials. And when you talk to veterinarians that work in this area, they're very concerned that that is going to overwhelm them.
Belk says it's important the industry doesn't make adjustments based solely on opinions and rhetoric. He thinks it's the industry's best interest to proactively address the problem, but there will be some give and take. The last time the U.S. ended a marketing year with more than 2 billion bushels of corn was the fall of 2005. Some are beginning to consider the possibility that much corn might be on hand this year, too. Todd Gleason explores how this could take place and the reality of the situation.
We'll start with the nationwide average cash price of corn back in 2004. That was $2.06 a bushel. This would have been sold by farmers prior to the 2005 corn harvest. University of Illinois ag economists state the price comes from the tail end of the old era and does not reflect the economics of corn production today. The old era pricing started back in the 1970s. The new era started with the 2005 crop and the introduction of the renewable fuel standard. It created a market for corn-based ethanol that this year reached its maximum. On the bright side, with respect to both old and new crop grain prices, the consumption levels needed to reach a 2 billion bushel carryout result in a stocks-to-use ratio for corn of only, writes John Newton from the University of Illinois, 14.8%. He says, based on recent price stocks-to-use analysis, the implied price associated with the 2 billion bushel carryout may be consistent with the current marketing year USDA cash price projection of $3.70 a bushel. Of course, USDA has yet to release a current ending stocks projection of 2 billion bushels of corn.
I like to think of the USDA and the WASDE reports as a slow-moving ship. And so even though we may ultimately get to a number higher than 1.85 billion bushels of corn carrying out in the marketing year, the USDA is not going to go there today. It'll take some time. They'll progressively make adjustments because it's a lot easier to make slower adjustments than walk this thing back later in the marketing year.
Here's the upshot of that statement. USDA's marketing year average cash price per corn looks right, but the carryout figure may grow to match it. The cause for concern, then, is the price implications associated with a potentially big crop in 2015. The corn crop to be harvested this fall, says Newton.
If you were to carry out the balance sheet into next year, what are some of the potential implications? And while 165 bushels an acre and 89 million planted acres could get us to lower our carryout at the end of 15-16, the other side of that coin is what if we have another whopper year? What kind of carryout could we then reasonably expect to have at the end of next year? And could that then again be above 2 billion bushels of corn? And what kind of corn prices would we see if that were to occur?
Now let's back up. Before this were to happen, you'd have to believe this year's ending stocks figure will be closer to 2 billion bushels than the 1.85 currently projected. Frankly, usage is better than that. Collectively, the pace of corn consumption for ethanol exports and feed and residual use is supportive of current WASDE projections, writes Newton in his April 13 FarmDoc daily posting to the web. A 2 billion bushel carryout, he says, seems like a distant and unlikely outcome given current consumption indicators. USDA's June 30 stocks report should provide additional clarity on the ongoing pace of corn consumption. I'm Todd Gleason.
That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. Spring got off to a rough start for the wheat crop. Kyle Brazzi with CHS in Shipman gives an update on how the wheat crop in the area is coming along.
The wheat crop is starting to perk up a little bit. So I'd say about half of the fields that we walk have gone to where we'd say they're in good condition. A little bit earlier in the year, you know, we didn't know what we were going to end up with. A lot of plant stands that were very thin in some cases where we went ahead and left a few of those fields. In fact, we had some plant stands that were in the low 20s even in that square foot range. And now we're actually past that FEEX 5, FEEX 6. We're in that grand growth stage where that crop is really starting to green up and take off. So I'm optimistic about the fields that have made it. There's still that, you say, 15 to 20% of the fields that we had to take out that we don't think will be a wheat field. But the ones that are there right now seem to be okay.
While the condition of the wheat crop locally is a pleasant surprise, the same cannot be said in the main wheat-producing states.
Yeah, it's just too dry out west. I know that what we do in Illinois doesn't necessarily impact the wheat market as much as what happens out west, and they've been so dry so long that that's really going to devastate that wheat market out there. And we suspect that, we can still have a good quality crop. It's important that we manage the weeds, the disease, the fertility, all of the things that we can do to make sure this wheat crop turns out to be good for us yet. And we're still going to have some of those fields with the drowned out areas that won't make it, but I'm optimistic about the fields that are that we are going to keep.
Brazzi said the amount of wheat acres in his area is down significantly this year. He highlights some of the reasons why.
And just because of the fall, Angela, we were down on wheat acres getting planted. Probably a solid 20% off of where we would normally be in the little world that I work with here. And then take that in consideration with the other fields that won't make it. So I look for a decline in the total acres of wheat in the area and know that that's probably the case over more than just where I work. As you go further south into Illinois, too, that they're going to have those same answers for you.
When it comes to making sure farmers get a good wheat crop in the future, Brazzi says fall planting and stand establishment is the most crucial factor.
You know, the stand establishment in the fall is a big deal. We want to make sure that we're getting good seed-soil contact, and planting depth is a big deal. We don't want those plants to heave out over the winter. I haven't seen many cases where that was the issue. Most of the problems that I've seen this year were just too much water and too wet for too long, and we planted kind of late. So, you know, we want to be as close to, but as soon after the Hessian fly-free date when we're doing our planting. That'll give us a little bit of boost in the fall, but we just didn't have the ability to get that done this year.
Outside of the realm of wheat, Brazzi touches on the main issues farmers are concerned about this growing season.
We're getting a lot of phone calls right now on these fields that are greening up. So not much anhydrous ammonia on, not much spring work has been done because of the weather this spring. But those fields that are starting to green up, talk with your crop specialist on what to spray. We can keep those fields clean. We need to start working on that. Some of the things that it concerns me about would be, we have the fields that are really green will stay wet longer. We'll tie up some fertility, And insect pressure will be higher in those fields. So we worry about black cutworms and things. If we see flights of those start to pick up here in the next few weeks, that we'll be worrying about that is extra insect pressure from these green fields. So pay attention to what's going on out there, and we're working on those problems.
Again, that was Kyle Brazzi with CHS and Shipman. Brazzi also cautions farmers to stay safe this spring planting season. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.